Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain's question dominates today's Old Testament lesson. It reveals so much of Cain's wicked heart that we have a hard time seeing anything else in this story. And so we almost always end up reading it like a fairy tale with a moral. And the moral of the story is this: don't hate your brother. You see, when I was a boy, I used this line a lot on my parents, because I had a younger brother and he was always bugging me. And believe it or not, I actually used to be able to beat him up. Well, my parents would reply, "You better watch out, or you will end up just like Cain." And that's not where you want to be, is it? And of course, at the local Lutheran school, in the local Lutheran religion class, I learned all about how I should treat my brother. Class, what does this story of Cain and Abel teach you? Of course, you're supposed to love your brother. You are your brother's keeper. You should just go ahead and give him the last brownie in the pan. Go ahead and let him play with your new model airplane, even though he has a history of breaking all your best stuff. Now, of course, I have to admit, those are all very good lessons, and in fact, I am trying to pass them on to my own children, with equally limited success. But I think that there is more to this story of Cain and Abel than learning some advice about how we are supposed to treat our brothers. In fact, I don't think that the story really is primarily about the relationship between Cain and Abel at all. After all, the text hardly tells us anything about that. Actually, I think the story really deals more with Cain's relationship to God. They are the two who talk to each other through this story. And I think that it is in the unfolding of this relationship that the story takes on new meaning for us. This encounter between God and Cain is full of irony. When you reread the story, you discover that God begins to treat Cain like Cain treated Abel. There is terrible irony in the fact that God took every protector and defender away from Cain, just as Cain had done to his brother. God effectively removed Cain from his family and his country and condemned him to a life of aimless wandering over the face of the earth. Cain's situation here is not at all like Abraham's later on, when God commanded him to leave his country and his kindred and the house of his father to a land that he would show him. Because here, you see, God makes no promise of inheritance or blessing. There's no direction, no place to go, nothing to do. God simply turns Cain out on his own. And Cain knew that his brothers would turn on him. "My punishment is too great for me to bear," he cries. Abel's burden had become his, and he found it exceedingly heavy. And so Cain interprets God's punishment as a death sentence. "Today you drive me from the face of the land, and I will be hidden from your face, and whoever finds me will kill me." Cain realized that the tables had been turned. His brothers were no longer his keepers either, and one of them was bound to kill him, just like he had killed Abel. But really, I don't feel too sorry for Cain, and I would suspect that not many of you do either. After all, the guy killed his brother without remorse. It is only justice that now he is tasting a little of the poison that he inflicted on Abel, his brother. He's getting what he deserves. But you see, the story does not end on this note of God's curse and Cain's pitiful plea. After all of this, God does something quite remarkable. Here stands Cain, the keeper who had slain his own brother, the shepherd who had slaughtered his lamb, himself removed from every defender and protector just as he should be. But instead of saying, tough luck, instead of saying, deal with it, God, in fact, becomes his protector. God put his mark on this undeserving man so that no one would harm him. What irony! God becomes for Cain what Cain should have been for his brother. Now, this twist at the end of the story tells us something special about our God. As sinful and wicked as Cain was, so gracious and merciful is God. At the end of the story, we find a God of grace who, surprise of surprises, is also our God of grace. This God, the one who mercifully protected and preserved Cain, even more remarkably, preserves and protects us, we who are responsible for the death of his own innocent son. God's grace is unfathomable to me. He sent his own innocent son to bear the punishment that was too great for me to bear alone. How ironic that I have so little pity for Cain when I am as guilty of sin as he is. And the father, what did he do as his son died? How ironic. The one who was Cain's protector withdrew his protective hand from his innocent son, and death and hell soon struck him as his father hid his face from him. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me?" Christ cried. His beloved father gave him no protection as he suffered. Our sins killed him, like Cain ruthlessly killed his brother, and God was pleased to let that happen. All for us. Such undeserved love for us. We deserve no mercy, but that is exactly what we receive. According to the familiar hymn, Abel's blood for vengeance pleadeth from the skies, but the blood of Jesus for our pardon cries. And the Father hears that cry. And for his Son's sake, not for ours, he forgives all of our sins. No sin is too great for God to forgive because, of course, Christ has already shed his blood for it. For Jesus' sake, God protects us from all of our enemies too. Sin and death and hell and Satan cannot rule us. They cannot overcome us because God hears Christ's blood pleading for us. We belong to him. And in fact, in our baptism, we have received a sign marking us as one of God's children and reminding us that our inheritance is secure. It reminds us that we do not belong to death. We belong to God. And if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him freely give us all things? You see, the great news that we have to share with each other here at Concordia Seminary, this great news that we have the privilege to study and to digest and to discuss and to grow in, is the great news that for the sake of our brother Christ, God is now our eternal keeper. It is that news that we hope to bring to all those people who are wandering aimlessly in our world, alone, at the mercy of fierce enemies. It is news with which we comfort our brothers and sisters when they are enduring hardship. It is news that comforts us in the darkest and loneliest moments of our life. For Christ's sake, God is our keeper. The psalmist, you see, using the same word as we find here in this story of Cain and Abel, describes beautifully what Christ's protection brings us. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will preserve you from all evil. He will preserve your soul. The Lord will preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The Lord keeps us. The Lord protects us. The Lord preserves us. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He is a remarkable God. and his grace is the most remarkable thing of all. Amen. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds together in Christ Jesus. Amen.